me on that? This is just like good stuff. I you know, the psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I'm just, it's just tasty this morning. It is just tastiness all around this place. I just love it. We are going to receive communion this morning, remembering the broken body of Jesus and the blood that Jesus shed for us. And so ushers, you can go ahead and begin to pass out the elements. And I just want to share, you know, I don't know if you guys have experienced this. Actually, I do know, because I'm pretty sure all of humanity has this thing called sin. Hey, what? What did you just say? Everyone sinned. Okay. This is the deal, though, man. Sin does this thing and it stains us. There's something about sin that stains us. I don't know if you've experienced this the way that I've experienced this, but I have felt this stain of sin in my life. I've felt like not just the stain of sin, but this stain of guilt and the stain of shame and rejection and just feeling like I can't look at the eyes of God, you know? I can't look at his face because I felt stained. But here, let me back up. That's a little too deep, too fast. Let me back up. How many of y'all have bought a new t-shirt? Last service, I said Mervyn's, and I just felt like, oh man, Mervyn's doesn't even exist anymore. And I was like, oh. And it hit me. I'm growing up. I am growing up. I am 32, and I'm going on like 70 or something. I don't even know what's happening. I'm growing up. You know you're growing up when you start calling out stores that don't exist anymore. And you start talking about like records and CDs. Oh, Lord, that's going to be one day. Lord have mercy. But like tape cassettes, that's how you know you're growing up. Be like, I just bought this tape the other day, and everyone's like, what is a tape cassette? You know, it's an MP3, homie. It's on iTunes. That's what's going on. Anyway, back to the gospel, you know. But okay, actually, here's the deal. You guys have this moment where you like buy a brand new shirt, and not at Mervyn's, because I heard that it's Nordstrom now. Nordstrom Rack for the homie hookup deal. I heard that's where it's at. You know what I'm saying? You get because Nordstrom's like $100. You go to Nordstrom Rack, you get the 50% off homie hookup deal. You know what I mean? And it's the same stinking thing. It just got marked down. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord for the discounts. Anyway, so you buy your shirt, you get home, and because on the way home you were hungry, you bought yourself a carne asada burrito, or if you're really cool, you went for the California burrito because it's got the french fries inside of it. You don't need a side of fries because it's in the burrito. It's amazing. And your hot sauce, your whole deal, you bite into this beautiful, I mean, I'm telling you, this is a beautiful thing. Carne asada, California burrito, you bite into this, and all of a sudden, wham, bam, you got like carne asada stain on your brand new shirt that you just got. Anyone had this experience before? And you're like, oh God, I got buyer's remorse. Can I take it back? I don't know. Will they still take it back? I could lie and tell them that it was their fault. The register lady did it, and this whole, you could make up stuff. But we don't lie because we believe in Jesus, right? Okay. So, but this moment, and you go and you're trying to use whatever. You can't use bleach because it's a colored shirt, so you don't want to ruin it. You're like using all, is that the Tide, all whatever, the little snuggle bear, all of this stuff, you're trying to get the stain off. We're gonna take communion, I promise. You're trying to get this stain off and nothing works, and it still remains after all the stuff that you've tried to do to get the stain off. And can we just, now we're gonna go back to where we're, this is what it's like in our lives when we sin. It stains us, and no matter what we do, I'm telling you, I felt this stain of guilt and sin in my life, things that I've done. And I'm telling you, no matter how many showers I took, no matter how many times I washed, no matter how much soap I used, no matter good works I did, it's like the hymn writer wrote this in his psalm and in his song. And he said, what can wash away my sins? He said, what can? It's like, it's not good works. It's not going to church a bunch of times. It's not doing a good deed. It's not helping the old lady across the street. It's not Buddha. It's not Confucius. It's not philosophy. It's not being a better person one day, because your sin always outweighs your good works and the justice of God. And he says, what can wash away my sin? How many of y'all know the answer? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Say that with me. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's better than any soap. It's better than any good work. Man, I'm telling you, the blood actually empowers you to do the good works. But if you ain't got the blood first, the good works don't get you anywhere in God's kingdom. We need the blood of Jesus to wash us away. And I wonder, this Old Testament prophet Isaiah said this in chapter 1, verse 18. He said, come and let us reason together, says the Lord. And I wonder if we've had these reasonings
with us and God, and we're wrestling, going like, well, I've done this, and then you know, he's trying to speak the gospel, and then, but I've done this, and he's trying to tell you, and sometimes we're wrestling with clean and unclean. We're wrestling with righteous and unrighteous. We're wrestling with the guilt and the shame and the stain of the things that we've done, and even some of the things that have been done to us. And the Lord said, come here, let us reason together. And he says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And the beauty of Jesus and his blood is that our lives have been stained with our sin and guilt and shame, but his blood was shed so that you could be made clean again. Come on, you got to hear me this morning. You got to hear me this morning. The blood of Jesus was shed for you so you could be made clean. And the stain of your guilt and shame, the things that you've done. But I'm telling you, the things that, we don't even want to say them out loud sometimes because we know how messed up they've been. And the things that have been done to us, the things that people have said to us, the things that, the abuses that have come our way, it left a stain on our lives. Another hymn writer said, sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. And this is what we remember this morning. Can someone give me a cup from the back over there? Thank you. Oh, you had it for me. Well, you guys are just, come on, man, with these servants of the Lord in this place. They're awesome. Under the second cup has the bread. We're going to take the bread first. But Father, in this place, we take a moment to remember what you've done for us. Let the purity of Jesus just come on us. And we exchange our filthiness and our sin and all the stuff that we've done. And we exchange it for your righteousness. And we just say yes to you this morning. Just say yes, Lord. I receive your forgiveness. And this bread represents the broken body of Jesus. So let's go ahead and eat of the bread. And this juice represents the blood. And Father, we thank you that Jesus, it says that you came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through you. God, thank you. If we needed to be condemned, you would have sent a condemner. But we needed to be saved, and that's why you sent a Savior. And we take this juice as a remembrance of the blood that was shed, that you remove all of our stains, all of our shame, all of our guilt, by the finished work of the cross and the blood of Jesus. Go ahead and let's drink to remember. You can go ahead and pass the cups to the outer aisles, and the ushers will go ahead and grab those from you. But just stay in a heart of worship. Father, I thank you that in this place, I keep hearing this word pure, and I feel like the Lord wants to encourage somebody this morning, a whole bunch of us, that you, man, I'm telling you, some of us might have walked in the room feeling dirty, feeling unashamed, feeling unclean before God. But there's a beautiful verse that in Ephesians chapter 1, and it talks about how God had chosen us before the foundation of the world to be holy and to be without blame, to be blameless before him in his sight. And God, I thank you that your eyes looking at us, God, you saw this before the foundation of the world. You thought of us, you chose us, and you loved us. And God, let the purity, I just pray that the purity of Jesus, the washing of the blood of Jesus would just get all over your people today. And for some of us who came in here for the first time, God, I thank you that you're not angry with them, but you poured out the wrath on the cross so you could pour out your goodness on us. So release the flood tide of your goodness and mercy over hearts and over minds in Jesus' name. We're going to sing a song together. If you want to sit, stand, whatever it is, but I want to invite you just to worship with us and just sing.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Jesus. I'm going to sing that one more time together. What can wash?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we're singing, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's washed away all of it, Lord. My sin and shame, you paid my way, Lord. It's washed away. Thank you, Lord. My sin and shame. Oh, what can wash? Come on.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
What can make me whole?
What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow.
Oh, sin and shame. Oh, I know it. It's washed away. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My sin and shame. And through it all, I hear the Lord saying, I've washed away. Your sin and shame. I can live this way.
The Lord said, I've washed away.
There's too much pain.
Your sin and shame. Can you hear the Lord saying to you, I've washed away.
your sin and shame. The Lord said it, I've washed away. Your sin and shame.
Hey,
the Lord said it, I washed away.
Have a seat. Come on.
Wow. Wow. Shoo. He's so good. There was a point where God was speaking through the Apostle Paul to the Galatians, but he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians." Sometimes we can get washed by the blood of Jesus, and then suddenly then we think we're going to work our way back to something we already got, was paid for. Are you present? I just pray right now, God. I just pray over everybody here, even as we just shift into this next section, God, that you would just take, God, and let the blood of Jesus stand alone. It stands alone. The only thing that forgives sins is the blood of Jesus. We get forgiven by it. We get sanctified by it. And every day, even if you sin, the blood of Jesus still stands to forgive your sins. And I thank you, God. It's not by works and it's not by anything else but the blood. We just love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew, powerful stuff. I'm going to share a little bit as we just wrap this to a close so I get the next few minutes here. In Luke 24, 1 through 6, it talks about the Easter story. I just want to read it to you. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ." Somebody get happy right about there. Yeah. "And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, and behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. As they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, The angel said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? It's a good question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen. And they said, remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. So I want to share, just pull a few things out of this. And I want to bring 4 points. They all start with a P because I'm a preacher. I'm just going to do that thing. So here we go. Number one, I want to go back to the garden. And the first one is pressed in prayer. And it says in Mark 14:32, and Jesus led his disciples to an orchard. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. It says, led them to an orchard called the Olive Press. And he told them, sit here while I pray. And he took Peter, Jacob, John with him. And intense feeling of great horror plunged his soul into deep sorrow and agony. And he said to them, my heart is overwhelmed with anguish and crushed with grief. It feels as though I'm dying. Stay here and keep watch with me. Jesus was in the garden praying, knowing what was leading up. Even as we celebrate his resurrection, going up to it, he was pressed. He was pressed in prayer. He was praying. And it's interesting, the place that he was, Gethsemane. You say, yeah, I know that's Gethsemane. Okay, I got that. But in Aramaic, Gethsemane means oil press. In context, if you take an olive orchard and you put Gethsemane together, it's an olive oil press. And what is the anointing? That olive oil, which we look at for anointing and for that olive oil. Well, who was Jesus? Jesus was the anointed one. He was the Messiah. And so here's the anointed one being pressed. And as he was pressed, as you press the olive, you get the olive oil. He was getting pressed. He contended, and as he was contending not for something that, not for a burden that was something that he caused, but something that he was the answer for. He was contending not for his sins, but for our sins. He was contending in the garden, knowing that Jesus, who was there at creation, who was birthed on this earth for us to be that spotless lamb, lived a sinless life. And here he is pressed because he feels the weight of the whole world's sin is going to come on him. And he knows he's going to be separated from his Father. And a lot of people say, well, just think of a crucifixion. That's enough to get you really pressed. But I don't believe it was the physical. I believe there was something far greater. And as he's getting pressed on, there was something there, something else that's interesting. The Mount of Olives is located near the Brook of Kidron. And we know in 2 Samuel, if you see where David came out in 2 Samuel, when he was leaving his kingdom, the king was leaving his kingdom because Absalom was pressing. And as David left, he left by the Brook of Kidron. And so David went through that same place, and David was grieved, and he was leaving his kingdom. And here, David in the old is a type and shadow of the new. And David was mourning over his own sins because things that he held back from Absalom. That's a whole other story. But here's David, and David's leaving as a type and shadow of Christ, who's back in that same place. And that word Kidron means mourning. And here's Christ mourning for our sins to get us back in a kingdom where we were separated because of our sins. So in the old, it's singular. In the new, it's plural. And in the new, there's many sins, and it's all of us. And that's what he was contending for, this weight of our sins. I was thinking about it, and even when you read the description in the Aramaic, it goes even deeper, and it's really powerful. And my. And it sounds almost like childbirth. Moms, so much pain, he said, I feel like I'm going to die. Dads, don't even look like you know. Like you're going, yeah. You don't know. Moms know. I have no clue, but I just can hear, okay? Dads are like, yes. And we're like, you don't even know. Don't even try. Amber's sitting up here going, Jeremiah, don't even think you know what you're talking about. But moms, you know, and how many know Jesus was feeling the pressure, and you know what? And he was birthing something as well. Something was being birthed. Look at your neighbor and say, it's you. He was birthing his bride. Powerful. So here's Jesus getting pressed. Here's the anointed one being pressed in the olive press. Here's the anointed one being pressed in the garden. And you know, and a little freebie, California is the world's capital for olive oil. California exports more olive oil than any place, period. There's a press, and we need to press. Practical application, we need to press in prayer for what God's birthing out of California. Because the movements have been birthed, Azusa, just go back to campus life and all of them. Take it all. Look at what California's birthed. So you intercessors, there's a press all right, because God's birthing something in California that's powerful. But Jesus, back to the story, Jesus, he was pressed. And also not only was Jesus pressed in the garden, but Jesus paid a price. And the second one, the price was paid. In Matthew 26, 14, it talks about how Judas sold out Christ. So he went to the chief priest and he said, you know, what will you give me to sell him out and to tell you where he's going to be, where there's no crowd so you can get to him so it doesn't cause a riot? And they said, we're going to give you, guess what? We're going to give you 30 pieces of silver. That's interesting. Because silver, number one, speaks of redemption, our redemption. Somebody get happy. But guess what 30 stands for? 30 pieces of silver. Guess how much it cost to buy a slave in Jesus' time? 30 pieces of silver. The Prince of Peace was purchased for the price of a slave. God incarnate purchased for the price of a slave. And he did nothing to be enslaved. He was sinless. But the Bible talks about how anyone who sins is a slave to sin. And we think we have this freedom to sin, but yet sin gets a hold of us and we become in bondage to it. And Jesus, he takes and he is sold out for the price of a slave to buy our freedom. And he gives himself. No one could have taken him. When he was in the garden pressing, he was in prayer, and they came to him, and they came to him, and there's 600 Roman elite soldiers, and Jesus says, steps up so they don't have to hurt his boys, and he's like, who are you looking for? And he said, Jesus of Nazareth, he said, I am he, and 600 men fell back on their backside. God just wanted to demonstrate. Jesus had the power, all the power he needed, and no one was going to get him unless he laid his life down. And Jesus paid the price willingly to go with him. That was a price. He laid it down. All his power. He could have wiped them all out. And even when Peter cut the ear off, he said, I could have called down 12 legions of angels. Well, there was 12 disciples. He was trying to say, I can get these legions to come down and they've got thousands and thousands. I could have called 72,000 angels. One could take care of these 600. I could have called 72,000. He was trying to show us a picture. He had all power and he laid it all down. Look at the price that he paid. I can't even imagine. I'm talking about moms birthing a baby. And can you imagine the value of your children? How about you dads? Can you imagine the price of your son? Could you give up your son to die? Hello? The price is so powerful. And that's what I want to get to next. There was a price. The price. So he pressed and there was a price. And he paid the price for us because he loves us. It's beyond our comprehension to try to comprehend it. And the next one is that he was pierced. Number three, there's a place that he was pierced. So they took him in Matthew 27:30 says they spat on him. They took the reed. They struck him on the head. It just drove those thorns into his head. And they mocked him. They took the robe and they put on his own clothes. They led him away to be crucified. It talks about Simon. Simon helped him compelled to bear his cross. And then in verse 33, it says, when they had come to the place called Golgotha, say Golgotha. That is to say the place of the skull. Golgotha is interesting. The place of the skull. It's interesting. Some say, no, Golgotha. It's interesting, the place of the skull. Some say it got its name because David took the head of and buried the head of Goliath there. And as you think of Goliath, you know, if you look at the place of the skull, you can see, you know, that what happened with Goliath, what happened specifically to Goliath's skull. Goliath had his skull pierced. Well, they took Jesus to a place where they pierced his hands and nailed him to a cross. And Goliath got his head pierced with a rock. And when he got his head pierced with this rock penetrated, kills him. When Goliath got pierced, all of Israel's enemy was defeated. And here now Jesus is pierced, where Jesus once and for all would take the greater enemy than Goliath. He would take sin and death itself. And Jesus defeated our greatest foe. Jesus was pierced in that place they call the skull. Wow. And then when you think about it, some say it got its name because the rock was shaped like a skull. If you go online, you can see pictures of the, maybe you've been there. It's just this skull. There's a skull. You can see the sunken eyes and the nose, and you can see the rock, that mountain right there by the garden. There's a skull there. And as I was looking at that, I thought about it, and I said, you know, I was thinking, my goodness, if you went up to the top of the mountain, when you put the cross in, you have to dig a hole. And if you've got this cross sticking up, you got to dig down deep enough. They pierced the skull with this hole. And they nailed our Savior to it and dropped this cross down into this hole. And Jesus' blood drips right down this cross, right down into the hole that the hole that pierces the skull. The blood of Jesus will pierce through. The Bible says that the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. It's foolishness. But when we receive the blood of Jesus and get forgiveness, it changes and we get our minds transformed. We need to pierce through these thick skulls. Jesus reappeared to his disciples and he challenged them. And he said, you guys, and he appeared to them and they're still like, you know, and he's like, you guys, you have thick skulls here. Remember Thomas, you know, I'm not believing until, you know, and he's like, he's appeared over and over. He appears and the disciples are like, it can really be Jesus. It's got to be his ghost. It's, you know, they can't even believe, even on the water. Jesus over and over and over is trying to get it through their head. Won't you believe? But the cross is what pierces through that. When we understand the cross, that Jesus was crucified, that he died, was buried, and he rose from the dead. And when we accept that, we accept the gospel, and we can ask for forgiveness by believing that, it pierces through. And as it does, oh my, my, what it lets in, my Jesus. There's a message that comes from the cross. We saw a skit about someone who has a message. It's important. Well, Father God, the message of the cross is so important. People are perishing. Help get the message through this thing. It's the simple message of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus. He forgives. There's a message of the cross. Don't stray from it. The blood that flowed down the cross, it's the only thing that brings forgiveness. I can just see as that blood flowed down the cross and touched the earth. And here it touches the earth at that place, and the whole earth will be redeemed. That blood of Jesus Christ that redeems all of humanity and also restores all things. Oh. It was Tertullian, one of the early church fathers, who said the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, and Jesus put the first seed. That powerful image. In Isaiah 53:5, it says, he was pierced through for our transgressions. As they pierced him on the top of the skull, the place of the skull, that place called the skull, they took his hand, and as they pierced him, it actually says in the Aramaic that he said over and over, the tense was continual. He said, Father, forgive them, as they nailed and pierced his hand. And as they go to pierce him again, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He kept saying it over and over. Over, Father, forgive them as they pierced him, as they continue. And you go through things in life where you need to continually forgive people as they hurt you and as they cause pain in your life. And as you go through trials and troubles, there's an application for us. We get to forgive and forgive 70 times 70. We need to forgive over and over completely. And we go through pain and we get pierced, we get betrayed. And he kissed his betrayer and he said over and over, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. It wasn't just once. Forgiveness flows from that place. He was pierced through for our transgressions. So because our sin put, he was pierced for our sin on the cross, we get the privilege to forgive others who sin against us. This is the great challenge of the cross. This is the great application for us. He was pierced, but now I get to, when I get pierced and you get pierced, when something happens to you, you get to do like Jesus did. We remembered him today in communion, but do you remember him when you're going through pain? He was pressed. There was a price. He was pierced. But after that, there was a prophetic proclamation of his position, because he's not dead. Our God is not dead. The fourth thing is this proclamation of his position. If we don't get that and we don't keep that, we can get to a spot where we start thinking it's all up to us instead of up to him. If you go to our opening text in Luke 24, the angel said, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. In the Passion Translation, he says this. It says, they stood there stunned and perplexed. Suddenly, two men dazzling in white, shining white robes shining like lightning appeared above them. It's only in the Aramaic, but it says they appeared above them. These were angels, and they were just like, boom, on the ground. And terrified, the women fell to the ground on their faces. The men in white said to them, "Why would you look for the living one in a tomb? He's not here, he's risen." There's a challenge to us today. Why would we look for the living one in a tomb? There's a challenge. Angels only are messengers of God. God is sending a message through the cross. He's sending a message from the resurrection. He sent a message from the empty tomb. Say empty. Why would we look? And the, literally, when it says look for the living, it really, literally in Aramaic, it means the life. Capital T, capital L. It means why would you look for the life in a tomb? Before I was born again, I looked for it through drugs. I looked through it through partying. I looked for it through relationships. I looked through it for buying things. And I'm driving this fancy sports car. And I'm doing this and I'm doing that. Why? I looked for it in all the dead places. Why do you go hang out with the living dead and expect to find life? I'm not talking about a television show. I'm talking about the Bible in Ephesians tells us we all once walked according to the prince and power of the air. We were all dead in our trespasses and in our sins. And we do it, and the world does it, and they look for life in the dead places. But Jesus, he's not dead. Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life, not the bread of death." You say, "Why are you so happy at your church?" Because he's alive. Why would you serve God? That's crazy. I see you serving and all that stuff. You've done your job. Why don't you just go sit back with a little umbrella drinking non-alcoholic pina coladas and just watch television and just kick back a lot? You know what I mean? I mean, that sounds golden. I mean, you've done. Why are you serving so much? Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of him who sent me." You can be a vegan, but don't be a vegan Christian. Do some meat serving. Serve and get some meat. That's what Jesus said. And then he said, this water that you seek, but it'll be water, living water. Do we just want water and you thirst again, or living water where we don't thirst again? See, there was a proclamation that came from an empty tomb. The cross, it spoke from the garden. He spoke from the top of the skull. He spoke from the cross. And there was a proclamation from an empty tomb. And all of them are resounding a message. Jesus Christ, all that he did, don't forget the ending. He is alive. And he's the source of life. Oh, I don't feel like going to church today. Just give me, you know, three good reasons. It's like, well, you got to be an example to your kids. Ah, okay, I'm a father of three children. I need to go to church. Okay. You know, why else? You know, it's like, well, you know, you're scheduled to serve today. You're scheduled. Okay. I need to be an example. Why else? Just, I need one more. You're the pastor. Okay. I'll get out of bed. Okay. You don't have to be the pastor to be committed to go to church. It's, you know why? The greatest reason why we're going to go, I tell my boys, we do what we do. I would do what I do if I was a pastor or not a pastor. I do what I do because I'm a Christian. Because I know there's a place of life. Because I went to the place of death a lot. I knew what it was like to tap into the place of death. I knew what it was like to get robbed, to get almost died, to get all this crazy stuff. I've been there, but I get life. So I'm going to hang around with a bunch of living people celebrating a living God. Jesus went to church as was his custom, and he said, "Don't forsake the assembly." I'm not going to forsake going to church. There's life there. That doesn't mean I don't find it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and all. Yes, you can, but there's an assembly of life believers. You go meet in someone's living room. I don't need to go to a group. Why? There's life there. I just need to sit back and relax. You need to get life because he's the author of life. And there was a proclamation that was sent out to us that we need to hear and to see that Jesus, the angel challenged us, but really the angels are God. It was just God challenging us. Will we go to the one of life? Jesus, he came and he not only died, God raised him from the dead and put resurrection life power in him so that he could continue to say, what did Jesus say? He said, "I am the truth, I am the way, and I am the religion." True religion, like jeans, right? I am the way and the truth, and I am true religion. I am the way and the truth and the what? He was the way and the truth, and he's life. And those who tap in and find it, they pierce through this thing. And when we get away from it, we get dull. Jesus had to go back to his disciples, and he went to him, and he's like, guys, come on. And we need to get it. And then Jesus appeared to him, and I love it in John 20, and I'll end with this. He said, Jesus said to them again, he said, peace to you. As the Father sent me, I also send you. And he breathed on them, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he said, if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain them, they're retained. Wow. He not only forgave us, but he said, go forgive others. Sometimes angels may appear and angels will bring a message, but we're the messengers of salvation. They can bring a word from God, but they're not bringing salvation. You are those to bring salvation. Jesus birthed the bride, and we're that bride. We're the body of Christ. We're to bring that message. We're the ones who herald that message that the tomb is empty. We're the ones who take Easter and make it practical and bring it into our daily lives. We're the ones who take and we don't just do our jobs because we're trying to put numbers on a spreadsheet. We do our jobs because wherever God's placed us, we get to be a witness and a light and a message in that place. Wherever we are, in the school, in your workplace, whether you're, there's only a small percentage that'll ever be a vocational minister, but wherever you are ministers. You are kings and priests unto him. And when we get that, then we got his message. Would you stand with me today? Maybe you came here and you're saying, okay, here it is. I came to Easter. Here I am. Try your best shot. Preach, man. So I'm going to leave this place. I'm going to heaven already. I get nothing. What does God get out of it? God gets a bigger family every time someone gets saved. What does he get out of it? God wants something from you. That's the devil already all up in your head. What does God get out of it when we serve God? He gets praise. He gets glory. Yeah, but he just pours everything back in our lives. What does God get? God gets a bigger family. It's love and relationship. It's love and relationship. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Oh God, your message has been preached out here today. And you've heard the message. But will you let that message go through this thick skull? Will you let it pierce down deep into your heart? Will you let it go from your mind to your heart? Will you let it go 18 inches right into the thing that God wants? God wants your heart, not just this decision in the head. It says, if you believe in me, and what that says, that Greek word says, not just a mere credence, not just words from your mouth that say, I believe, but actually, will you cast your life? Will your heart, will you get your heart behind it? It's like you go to an altar to make a covenant. It's not just a head thing. It's a heart thing. And your head is there and your words are there, but it's your heart that's being represented. So I ask you today, will you give him your heart? Will you give him your heart? Will you give him your whole life? Will you say, take it all? If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to forgive your sins, will you do it today? Will you do it? Not because I'm trying to say something to convince you. If I could convince you, the devil could convince you out of it. You have to be convinced yourself. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you've heard the word of God, then faith comes. There's faith in the atmosphere. But the Bible says the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and righteousness. If you look up here and I see some of you looking at me like I owe you money, you know, I don't. You know, if you're looking at me all mean, it's because if you feel convicted, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts the world. I'm just a messenger. It's not my message. But I tell you, God will save you and he'll give you eternal life. And if you'll yield to him, and some of you need to ask him for the first time. Some of you, you're looking for, I'll sing a song to you. You're looking for love in all the wrong places. You don't want me to sing. That'll really mess the service up. But if you're looking for life where there's no life, you're searching the wrong place. But God wants to give it to you. So I just pray as your heads are bowed all over the room. If you're here and you say, I've never asked him to forgive my sins. It feels weird. Just if you believe you want to go to heaven, just raise your hand and say, that's me. Just look at me and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to go to heaven. Amen. Amen. Anyone else, just say, that's me. Amen. Amen. Just say, I want that. I want to go to heaven. I want it. I want it all. I don't want eternity. I want eternity. I want eternal life. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Just say that to me right here. You know, you could be here and say, I don't know. I made some kind of statement before, but I don't feel like I'm going to heaven. And I want you to make it sure. So if you're kind of a, I don't know, I said it when I was little, but I'm not living it. Would you just make a commitment to say, I'm going to commit to the author of life today. Amen. To say, here I am right here. Here I am. Amen. I know you do, little baby. You want to too. She's like, I want Jesus. She's like, I want him. I know. And God, I pray right now for those who are distant. I pray you'd draw them back in. It's not just a time to show like one time. God wants our whole hearts, our whole lives. We're not going to get to heaven and be able to say our job was more important than you. We're not going to get to heaven and say anything is more important than you. He is the most important thing on the planet. And he will bless your jobs and bless everything if you put him first. So I just pray right now that you would just take that step. And I want to pray all over the room. Pray this prayer with me and say, Father, I believe that Jesus Christ was crucified, that he died, that they put him in a tomb. But I believe he rose from the dead in a bodily form. Not only do I believe, but I receive forgiveness today based on that belief. Now I just want to pray for you. Father, I pray that you'd forgive them and wash them from all sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess, he's faithful. Because I guarantee you the devil's going to whisper in your ear, you're not really forgiven. The other people may be, but you're not really. And when you leave, he'll try to convince you that somehow you're an exception to God's word. God's no liar. God said in 1 John 1:9 that if you confess, God is faithful to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That means if you made a confession, you are completely cleansed and wiped clean. Everything else is in your head, and the devil will come to lie to you. I'm preparing you. And you need to say, I trust God, not your condemnation voice. I trust the word of God, which is that if you confess your sins, God is faithful to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And so I pray now that you would fill them with your power. And just would you pray this prayer and say, fill me, God, with your power to resist sin, to be your witness, and let your message be told. The Bible says that we're all that living letter. We're all living greeting cards being read by all people. Everywhere we go, people read the card. What's your card say? What's it going to read tomorrow and the next day and the next day? Be a message. Let the message of the cross resound from your life of love and joy and hope. God, I just thank you for every person here. At the end of the service, we're going to do a fun song. Anybody want to smile and have some fun? We love to have fun. We're going to do a fun song, and after we do, there's going to be an altar team that will be up here, and they will pray with you. If you made a decision today, they'll give you some materials. They'll help you through. If you need prayer for anything, they're up here to pray for you. If not, enjoy Easter with your families afterwards, but let's just go out happy. Come on. Come on, give him some praise in the house. Come on.
You are the way.